Friday, February 23rd, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports. We try to bring you a dose of common sense. We are very, very happy to have you with us today on this Friday. Happy Friday to you. I hope that we did help you maybe get through your work week in some small way. And you know, I hope as you start off your Friday today, I hope that you actually get something done today. Because like for me, I start stacking up stuff on Friday mornings that I just know full well I'm not going to do. Because I'm going to get to that on Monday. Like somehow I'm going to work a 28-hour shift on Monday, which is what it would take to catch everything up that I put off on my Fridays. Here's some advice. Don't be like me. Do some stuff today. Be constructive so that your Monday self does not hate your Friday self quite as much. Like I know there's still going to be some disputes there, but don't have it be just a full-on hatred there. Hey, if you would like to contact us, tell us how you are wasting time on your particular Friday. We'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear from you. If you need some advice, maybe you have a suggestion, maybe you have something you would like to bring to the show, we would love to hear it. You know, we've got a lot to get to today. Fridays are busy for us. Do a lot of stuff here on Fridays on the Daily Dose. We do, of course, have some breaking news that I want to talk about. Something kind of interesting that I want to look at. We also have to look forward to the weekend in sports. We kind of give you a preview of some of the best sporting events that are coming over the weekend, give you an idea what you can tune in for. Make sure that you have the space on your calendar to watch a few things. And of course, as we do every Friday, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. It is a busy Friday here, as usual. So we do have a little bit of breaking news. Something I want to talk about. It seems that the NBA is toying with the idea of tweaking the league's playoff format. First off, they are at least looking at possibly eliminating the East and West format and just taking the top 16 to 20 teams. Now, we've been saying that here on the Dose for, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years now. Why should geography have any say in who the best teams in the league are? I don't really care where you are in relation to the Mississippi River. I want the best teams. But sources say that there is also the idea of a play-in tournament determining the final two seeds on each side of the conference as maybe another way that they could go with these playoffs. The other proposal allegedly outlines 2 4-team tournaments featuring the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th seeds in each conference. And what they would do is the 7th seed would host the 8th seed, with the winner of that single game nabbing the 7th spot. Meanwhile, the 9th seed would host the 10th seed, with the winner of that game facing the loser of the 7 versus 8 matchup for the final playoff spot. Which I guess would make it a little more interesting, because you would have a few single elimination games, which we've seen in baseball especially, become very, very interesting. People turn it on with it, whereas they might not usually watch that. Of course, we know the NFL is single elimination. We think of March Madness. We think of college football. Single elimination type games do draw an audience. Could the NBA do something like that with their postseason? Now, I'm going to tell you 2 reasons why I don't think it's going to happen. So don't get too excited, but I'm going to give you a few reasons I don't think it's going to happen. First and foremost, I'm just going to throw this out there, and you just kind of sit there and you think about this. Maybe you kind of think of how you would react. This year, would you want to watch the Detroit Pistons host the Charlotte Hornets for the opportunity to face the winner of the Philadelphia 76ers hosting the Miami Heat? Yeah, probably not. I mean, it's single elimination though, so I mean, it's better, but those are 4 really, really bad teams. Like, I don't want to see the worst teams in the league playing in some single elimination tournament. I realize it's single elimination, and that kind of makes it a little bit better, but it's also really, really bad teams in the East. I'm going to give you a 2nd reason why I don't think this is going to happen. Because LeBron James is very much against this proposal. Because here's the perspective of LeBron James. He's in the East. Do you think LeBron James wants anything to do with playing teams like Oklahoma City or New Orleans or Minnesota in the first few rounds? No way. He wants nothing to do with that. He went to the East for a reason. He can go to the finals every single year in the East. That would all change drastically if they were to just take the top 16, 18, 20 teams or whatever it was and play them off. LeBron James, I'm telling you right now, he wants nothing to do with that. I went to the East. I've stayed in the East. I don't want anything to do with the West. My record against the West in the postseason, not so good. My record against the East, really, really good. Yeah, so I'm not sure that's going to happen, but the NBA is at least talking about some things. I don't think it'll happen because, again, if LeBron James is against it, who's Adam Silver to change it? Adam Silver doesn't have the guts to do anything, so I don't think it's going to happen, but it is interesting to think about. Hey, coming back, we will be looking at the coming weekend in sports and let you know which events just might be worth your time to find your way to kind of block off on that calendar. It's not a huge weekend of sports, but there are definitely plenty of things for you to watch. Okay, you know, we do this every single week. We take a look at some of the upcoming events over the weekend because you've got a lot to do. You have things to take care of. You have chores. You have parties to go to. You have kids to take care of. Maybe you have work, whatever it might be. We try to keep you up on the best things to tune in for over your weekend. And of course, now, not only do we preview the games, we also pick the games and see how we do with our picks. This past week, I only made 7 picks. I didn't do so well. I went 3-4. This rate, I'm going to be calling in Big Rob to make the picks. I'm going to try to fix this week, get back on track. But Xavier and Clemson at home really let me down. Not very happy with those. Wasn't our finest hour, but again, we have won way more than we have lost here at the Daily Dose. So if you want some free money, not that anyone would gamble on these games or anything like that, but if you do want some free money, just kind of keep these picks in mind. As long as we get them right. If we don't get them right, just forget you ever heard these picks. Okay, remember, all times given are Mountain Time Zone, so adjust accordingly. Let's take a look at what we've got this weekend in the world of sports. First and foremost, the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang are finishing up this weekend. So if you want to watch these bizarre winter events, like this is your last chance for the next 4 years. And there will be medal events just taking place all weekend. There's a number of events that still have to hand out their medals. So don't forget about the Olympics. No, they're kind of weird, but they will be going through Sunday evening. And then I believe the closing ceremonies are actually Sunday night. So we do have Winter Olympics just scattered throughout. Check and see what there is to watch. Hopefully there's something decent. But on Friday night, we do have a few games that you might want to tune in for. At 5:30 p.m. Friday night, we've got the Milwaukee Bucks going to the Toronto Raptors. You know, the Bucks are trying to hang in there for a playoff spot. And they are hoping that Jabari Parker is going to help as he comes back from yet another knee injury. Now, he's still trying to get back into game shape. But if he could come back and be a contributor, we know he can't play any defense, but he could give the Bucks another offensive threat besides Giannis. Meanwhile, the Toronto Raptors had to be disappointed that the All-Star break broke up their season because they had won 7 games in a row. And Toronto wasn't just winning going into the All-Star break. They were blowing folks out. Their average victory over those 7 games right before the All-Star break, their average margin of victory was 19 points. Now, can they keep that momentum going following the break? We will see. I will take the Raptors to win this game at home on Friday night. At 6 p.m., we've got another pretty good NBA game. The Minnesota Timberwolves now sit at 4th in the Western Conference, but I'm beginning to have some concerns about Minnesota because their starters are playing a lot of minutes. And as a result, it always seems like Minnesota starts to melt down in the fourth quarter because, quite simply, they run out of gas. Now, Houston can make you run out of gas anyways with all of their 3-point attempts. Do you realize the Houston Rockets are on track to attempt more 3-pointers than 2-pointers this year? Minnesota at Houston, 6 p.m. on Friday should be a good game. I will take the Rockets at home. We've also got a good college basketball game on Friday night. Also at 6 p.m., we've got number 16 Ohio State going to Indiana. You know, Ohio State still has a chance to win the Big Ten, but they had a rough week last week. They lost to both Penn State and to Michigan. Shooting guard Cam Williams is back from suspension, but he has looked extremely rusty. not shooting the ball very well. We know Indiana isn't that talented, but they will play hard and they will play defense. That could hide some of their deficits, especially at home. I will take Ohio State on the road. We'll see. That Big Ten matchup should be pretty good on Friday night. Moving forward to Saturday at 12:30 p.m., got another good college hoops game. You know, I was starting to take the number 3 Villanova Wildcats for granted last week when they went to Xavier, and I learned my lesson. Yes, they have been banged up, but Jay Wright has established probably the best culture in the country with what he's doing at Villanova. Just the way they operate on a day-to-day level. Villanova just seems like they have a system in place that might be better than everyone else's. They pounded Xavier last week, and they did it without Phil Booth. They go to Creighton on Saturday. Creighton is a high-scoring team, and because of that, they will have a shot in this game. They still have a shot to make it to the NCAA tournament. They need this win, especially at home. This would be a big win for Creighton. I'll take Villanova on the road because I am not making that mistake again of picking against Villanova. Do like that team as we head down the stretch. Got a women's college basketball game for you on Saturday that might be worth your time. At 2 p.m. on Saturday, it will be senior day for the Lady Volunteers of Tennessee as they close out their regular season at home against South Carolina. You know, senior games are tough because a lot of times we get these senior games and you just think, oh, I just want to have a great night. It's my last game. I'm a senior. I just want to finish strong. Senior games are tough because your focus isn't always on the preparation. It's not always on getting yourself ready to play. You can get all emotional. And as a result, what a lot of times we see on senior nights is we see teams get off to slow starts. They just came off the walking in with their parents and giving them flowers and giving them hugs. And as a result, your focus is not always where you want it. South Carolina is a very talented team. They already finished their senior night stuff last night against LSU. South Carolina at Tennessee, number 7 at number 15. I'll take Tennessee at home, but this is going to be a very, very tough game. But if you want to see some women's college hoops, these are two pretty good teams that you might want to watch. At 6:30 on Saturday night, we have a primetime game in the NBA coming out of the All-Star break. This is probably must-see TV if you're an NBA fan. The Oklahoma City Thunder have finally started to look like they're beginning to figure things out. The ball is finally moving a little bit. And you know, Russell Westbrook has a reason to try to beat the Golden State Warriors. Yes, Oklahoma City at Golden State, 6:30 on Saturday. Russell Westbrook doesn't care for Steph Curry. You know he's still mad about Kevin Durant leaving. And we saw right before the All-Star break, the Golden State Warriors, they looked very, very tired over the past few weeks. Now they've had a few days to rest and relax. And I don't know, listen to Fergie at the All-Star game. But Oklahoma City at Golden State, that should be a good one. I'll take the Warriors at home, but this should be a very, very good game. Wouldn't surprise me a bit to see the Thunder go into Golden State and get a win. Also on Saturday night, we do have a little bit of boxing. HBO boxing Sor Rungvisai versus Juan Francisco Estrada. That is 12 rounds for Rungvisai's WBC super flyweight title. You know, the last time that we saw the hard punching Rungvisai, he was pounding Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez in their rematch that I think everyone thought Gonzalez would win. Rungvisai had won their initial fight in a disputed decision, but there was no disputing that rematch. Rungvisai knocked Chocolatito out in 4 rounds, and watching that fight, I don't think it was that close. Now, Rungvisai will be facing Estrada in his second defense of his title, and Estrada does have some knockout power. Not maybe a big name fight, but HBO on Saturday night, Sor Rungvisai versus Juan Francisco Estrada could be a sneaky good fight. I'll take Rungvisai in his second title defense. That might be a fight worth watching. Moving on to Sunday. Yeah, we're going to have to talk a little English Premier League. And it's starting early. It's at 7 a.m. We've got Manchester United versus Chelsea. Manchester is in second place. Chelsea is in fourth place. I have no clue who will win this game because I just don't watch the Premier League enough. But settle in for some tea and some crumpets and enjoy this match on the pitch. I'll pick Chelsea because they aren't Man U. Sorry, Rob. I have no idea. I don't know why I change into a British accent when it comes to the Premier League. I don't know. But there you go. If you want to watch some soccer Sunday morning. At noon on Sunday, much like college football bowl games, NASCAR races now have idiotic corporate sponsors. But at noon on Sunday, we have what I'm going to call the Atlanta 500. I think they call it like the Atlanta Mobil Oil Viagra Mountain Dew Fender Banjo 500 or some stupid thing like that. But here at the Daily Dose, we just ignore those stupid names. Atlanta 500, noon on Sunday. Let's see how NASCAR can set up some crashes this week. Now, I'm just kind of throwing out ideas here. NASCAR can feel free to listen if they want to, but maybe this week they'll build like a moat with alligators over the front straightaway. Or possibly a ramp with a ring of fire on the backstretch. Whatever it is, I'm sure NASCAR will be trying to get some crashes and maybe some fights going because it's just what they do. Also on Sunday at 1:30, got another pretty good NBA matchup. As the San Antonio Spurs head to Cleveland to face the Cavaliers, of course, the Cavs have looked like a different team since all those roster moves. But this team's going to be interesting to watch over the next few weeks. They are definitely better defensively. But a team that executes well, that is smart, like the Spurs, could exploit those new additions and the lack of continuity that Cleveland has. I will actually take the Spurs on the road in this game. Want to see what Cleveland can do playing at home. And I know the Spurs have all this stuff going on with Kawhi Leonard. We'll see if that gets worked out. I'll take the Spurs on the road in this game. You know, at 4 p.m. on Sunday, we actually have a little bit of a sneaky, decent college basketball game that you might not know about. We have some Horizon League basketball on Sunday. The Wright State Raiders are 21-8 and are in first place in the Horizon League, while the University of Illinois Chicago is in third place in the Horizon League, and they're hoping to kind of make up some ground there. They lost to Wright State earlier this year, but that was on the road, and it was a very, very close game. So you might want to check out Wright State versus Illinois Chicago. Might be a decent game. I will take Wright State, but I will not be surprised to see either one of these teams play their way into the NCAA dance here in a few weeks. And March Madness, by the way, is coming very, very quickly. That's going to be here before we know it. Finally, to finish off your weekend, you can finish off your weekend with a little bit of NBA basketball. At 6 p.m., we've got the Philadelphia 76ers going to Washington to face the Wizards. You know, the Wizards have to try to survive without John Wall, who should be on the shelf for like another month or so. But bizarrely, the Wizards are actually playing pretty well without John Wall. They're only up on the Philadelphia 76ers by a game or two, so they need to win these games, especially at home. They can't afford to slip up. Now, here's a question. What NBA team averages more rebounds per game than anyone and is surprisingly one of the top defensive teams in the NBA? Yeah, the Philadelphia 76ers, who seem to be getting better every single week. Now, Philly couldn't continue to prove and actually have a shot to not only get in the playoffs, but be a threat to win a playoff series, could they? I don't know. They might. I'm actually going to take the Philadelphia 76ers in this game on the road. We'll see how that ends up. Decent weekend in sports. Not a ton, but there are a few decent games out there that you might want to tune in for. Hey, coming back, we will get to our Daily Dose top five this week. Now, you might not realize this, but today, February 23rd, is National Toast Day. Toast. Yes, you know, like toast, like bread, you toast, you put it in the toaster. Now, what top five could we possibly put together for National Toast Day? Don't worry, we'll think of something. Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping that you might need to do, head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find all the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. March's Loot Crate theme is called Playback, and it features items from Back to the Future, Sonic the Hedgehog, Dungeons and Dragons, and The Simpsons. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose into the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order, so make sure that you stop by Loot Crate for any shopping that you might need to do. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose top five. What could we be counting down on our Daily Dose top five for National Toast Day? Well, maybe it's some people that were made to be, you know, toast. Hey, we all want to be the hero in sports, right? No one goes out in their backyard and dreams of losing the big game. Yet we do see athletes step into this role all the time. Maybe the moment is just too big and just got the better of them. Maybe they just made a simple mistake. Maybe they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. But they end up being the GOAT, I guess. Now, it used to be the GOAT meant that you were the guy that cost your team the game. And then, of course, LL changed that to mean the greatest of all time. I'm the GOAT, the greatest of all time. But today on our Daily Dose Top 5, we are referring to the GOAT, meaning the guy who cost his team the game. And what better day than on National Toast Day to count down the biggest GOATs of all time? Number 5 on our list. Okay, the stage was set and it was about to all go down like everyone thought. Because Michigan's Fab Five had gone to the national championship game in 1992, but they were just outmatched by a veteran Duke squad. But in 1993, it would be Chris Webber and his talented sophomore teammates that were going to win it all. Yes, they had trailed North Carolina by 2, but Chris Webber grabbed a rebound with 11 seconds left, and the Wolverines were going to go finish off these pesky Tar Heels. First off, Webber grabs the rebound and traveled. And you can see in the replay, the ref kind of pretends like he doesn't see it. Like, I don't want to call a travel in this situation. Then Chris Webber dribbles into the front court, gets double teamed, and calls a timeout that Michigan didn't have, which of course resulted in a technical foul. North Carolina would get 2 free throws in the ball, and the Fab Five would leave college empty-handed. Well, I mean, except for all that booster money, right?
Michigan will have to bring
it. Oh, he walked! He walked and the referee missed it.
Webber brings it into the front court. They have no timeouts remaining.
Oh, he causes too many timeouts. That's a technical foul.
He called a timeout. Michigan doesn't have any.
He got by with a walk, and Jimmy calls a technical. He calls a timeout. He doesn't realize that's Michigan's too many, and so it'll be a technical foul. North Carolina shooting and the ball. A huge mental mistake.
You know, the funny thing when you watch that replay is that all of Chris Webber's teammates run away from him. Like, nobody comes to get the ball. Like, game's on the line. Just give me the ball. Here, give it here. Jalen Rose should be going and getting that thing. Ray Jackson, Jimmy King, Juwan Howard, they should be going and getting the ball. Nobody wanted it. They all ran away from Chris Webber. Of course, Webber is the guy that takes the blame. He's the GOAT. He's toast on this National Toast Day. Moving on to number 4. You know, we talked about this Super Bowl a few weeks back as probably one of the greatest Super Bowls ever. But it might have been completely different if not for our number 4 entry on this week's list. In Super Bowl 13, the Pittsburgh Steelers were leading the Dallas Cowboys 21-14 late in the third quarter when the Cowboys drove down to the Pittsburgh 10-yard line. On third down, Roger Staubach executes a little play-action movement, spots 38-year-old reserve tight end Jackie Smith wide open in the end zone. He threw in the ball. And you can see when you watch it now, Staubach tried to take a little off the pass because Smith is just so wide open. Like, he can't believe he's that wide open. He tries to just kind of float it to him. And because of that, the pass is a little behind Smith, but it still hits him right in the chest. Smith was a 16-year professional. He was elected into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but for some reason, he couldn't come up with this wide open catch. The Cowboys were forced to settle for a field goal, and the Steelers would go on to win this game 35-31. Think Dallas missed those 4 points at all? Yeah, it kind of cost them the game, didn't it?
It's 3rd down and 3, Dallas at the Pittsburgh 10. Roger back to throw, has a man open in the end zone, caught, touchdown, drop! Dropped in the end zone, Jackie Smith all by himself. Oh, bless his heart, he's got to be the sickest man in America.
Moving on to number 3 on our list. You know, today, the Cleveland Browns might be a laughingstock. That wasn't the case in the late 80s, when Marty Schottenheimer had put together a very talented and very physical Cleveland Browns team. In 1986, they were on their way to the Super Bowl. And then John Elway somehow led a 98-yard drive in Cleveland and went on to an overtime win. But in 1987, the Cleveland Browns were on their way to getting their revenge. The Browns were down 28-10 to those same Broncos. this time in Denver. And all of a sudden, the Cleveland Browns offense got hot. Cleveland scored 28 second half points to get within a touchdown. And with just over a minute to play, they were driving for the tying touchdown. They had the ball at the Denver Broncos 8-yard line, and a tie was going to give all the momentum to Cleveland. Like, it might be a tie game, but this game would be Cleveland's for the taking. On first and goal, Bernie Kosar hands the ball to running back Ernest Byner, who had been unstoppable for most of the day. Ernest Byner had 187 total yards and 2 touchdowns already, and he was heading for his 3rd touchdown, and his biggest touchdown, I might add. He breaks through the line, he's heading for the end zone, when a backup defensive back for the Broncos named Jeremiah Castile reached in, stripped the ball, and recovered the loose football. The Broncos held on, and the Browns once again had their hearts ripped out before they could get to the Super Bowl.
Near their own goal line, these are the toughest yards in football right here.
Draw to Byner. Ernest Byner.
Fumble.
Fumble the ball, and Denver has recovered. Oh, my. Or have they? Let's wait for the official. Dunn Pylum.
There's a war going on under that stack.
There it is. Denver's ball at the 2-yard line.
Moving on to number 2 on our list, the biggest goats of all time on National Toast Day. It was the 1986 World Series, and the Boston Red Sox were finally going to do it. After winning Game 5 against the New York Mets, they were just a game away from their first World Series title in nearly 70 years. Boston led the New York Mets 5-4 in the bottom of the 10th. Runners are at the corners. Mookie Wilson at the plate facing Bob Stanley with 2 outs. And then Stanley throws a wild pitch that scores Kevin Mitchell from third. Now it's 5-5. There's a full count to Mookie Wilson. Wilson dribbles a ground ball to first base, and Bill Buckner is going to make a routine play, and then this happened.
Can you believe this ball game at Shea?
Oh, brother. Woo.
So the winning run is at second base with 2 out, 3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first, behind the bag, it gets through Buckner, here comes Knight, and the Mets win it!
Of course, the Mets would go on to win Game 7, close out the Red Sox, and the curse of the Bambino would live on. And you know, poor Bill Buckner, because he was made to be the goat of this game, when in fact you could make a case that it was Bob Stanley that let the tying run score. Bill Buckner is the guy that took the blame for that, though. So who is the ultimate goat? No, not that kind of goat. You know, the bad kind of goat. The guy that lost you the game. Now, if you haven't seen the 30 for 30 film, The Two Escobars, you might want to go watch it. And you might not believe when you watch it that it could even be a true story, but it is the ultimate goat situation. Andres Escobar was a defensive player for the Colombian national team. Nicknamed the Gentleman, he was well known for his clean style of play, his calmness on the playing field. In the 1994 World Cup, Colombia was facing Team USA in Pasadena. You know, the U.S. team would be no match for Colombia, but early on, they were playing hard. They actually had a 1-0 lead. They had another odd man rush, and Escobar was the lone defensive player back for Colombia. He stretched out to cut off a pass, he mistimed the slide, and he inadvertently deflected the ball into his own net, putting the United States up 2-0. They would eventually win the game 2-1. And here's where this story gets way worse. Because after the World Cup, Escobar decided to return to Colombia instead of visiting relatives in Las Vegas, which was his original plan. On the evening of July 1st, 1994, 5 days after Colombia had been eliminated from the World Cup, Escobar called his friends and they went to a bar in Medellin. Then they went to a liquor store. Shortly afterwards, they went to a nightclub. His friends split up. At 3 o'clock in the morning, Escobar was alone in the parking lot of the nightclub. In his car, when 3 men appeared, they began arguing with him. 2 of the men took out handguns and Andres Escobar was shot 6 times with a .38 caliber pistol. It was reported that the killer shouted "goal" after every shot once for each time the South American football commentator said it during the broadcast. The group then drove away in a Toyota pickup truck, leaving Escobar to bleed to death. Escobar was rushed to the hospital where he died 45 minutes later. You know, the one thing that always stands out to me about athletics, and we've talked about it here on the Daily Dose, is how emotional we get about our athletics. Logic goes right out the window. Look at every single one of these plays we just talked about. Chris Weber was the reason Michigan even had a shot. Yet he's blamed for that huge mistake. Same thing for Ernest Biner. He was the guy who was carrying the Cleveland Browns. Jackie Smith, Bill Buckner, Andres Escobar all made mistakes that were just single plays over the course of a full game. Was it their fault that their teams lost? There's no way. But as sports fans, sometimes that kind of logic goes right out the window. We hurt and we want someone to blame. It doesn't have to make sense. It's sports. Hey, here at the Daily Dose, we strive to be a little bit smarter than the people who blame one person for the loss that their team just had. Hey, it is Friday and we made it through another week. I want to thank all of you for listening to the Daily Dose each and every day. I hope that you are enjoying the show. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for reaching out. Thank you for sharing it. It is all very appreciated. Next week, we will be recapping the Olympics, looking at the weekend in sports, looking at some college hoops, NBA, anything that just might come along. We will be getting to all of that next week. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great weekend. I will see you all on Monday.